Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for being part of my day. Elise Benin is our guest. She's our good friend. Elise is the founder of Marketing Mentor, which is an organization that she heads up that helps people put their best foot forward in the marketplace. And she joins us quite often to help us do that on the show. She's the author of a number of books, including Self-Promotion Online. And her new book is called Stop Pushing Me Around, a workplace guide for the timid, shy, and less assertive. And she modeled her book after me, of course. And she's our good friend. Elise, welcome back to the show.
Thanks so much, Jim. And, you know, that just reminded me, yesterday I got in the mail copies of a Korean translation of my book.
Congratulations.
I didn't even know they were translating it into Korean, but they did.
Congratulations. Who did that?
I don't know. The publisher takes care of that kind of thing, but I can tell you that they don't tell the author anything.
I believe it, yeah. And you said, heck with a book, I want to check.
Well, hopefully it's coming.
Well, so what you're saying is they didn't ask you to create a proposal to the Koreans, right?
No.
Wonder what that proposal looked like.
I don't know. Maybe it was in Korean.
Maybe it was. And, of course, as you know, at least they don't call me the king of Segway for nothing. That's exactly what you want to talk about today, isn't it? Proposals.
That's right. And I do want to talk about proposals, and you teased me with the idea that you know the secret to great proposal writing, so I'm going to ask you that.
I said that?
Sooner rather than later. But let's talk first about the problems with the proposals
that people write.
Well, let's talk about how people, prospects and clients, receive proposals. Mm-hmm. Because I think that's what most people writing them don't think too much about.
That's exactly right. That is a very important point. Go ahead.
Yeah. I mean, mostly there are two issues that I think are important. One is the fact that so many proposals these days get sent as a PDF file mm-hmm. and not as an actual document, and certainly not presented in person, which it should be.
Right.
And the other point is that I think most of them are too generic, too much template, too much fluff, not enough that I wrote this specifically thinking about your business or our project together in mind.
Mm-hmm.
So most
mm-hmm.
people just flip to the back, look at the number, and don't even look at the rest.
Well, one of the reasons they do that is because I get proposals, and the first two or three pages is all about them.
Right.
And I already know all about them.
Hopefully.
You know, and what I'm really more interested in is what about me?
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm the customer.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're the customer, it's all about you. It's one time when you get to have it. When you get to have it, all about you.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think it should be in a lot of different places, including a website. But
right.
in a proposal especially, it has to be more about the client or the prospect than mm-hmm. about the person providing the service. I mean, that
exactly.
stuff belongs there, but it belongs in the back.
Right. Exactly. At the very back.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So one of my main, I'm writing, you know, another book, and that's part of why I'm talking to you about this topic, because I'm working on a chapter on this topic. But one of the main tips in this chapter has to do with presenting proposals in person. And, you know, most people say, oh, the prospect isn't interested in that. They don't have time for that, blah, blah, blah. But I really think that it's important for a service provider, a potential service provider, to go through the details of what's involved in the work.
When I was trained about proposals by the two companies that I worked for in my early career, two of the best companies in the world at that time, in my opinion, and one of them was certainly the best in the world at giving proposals, preparing and delivering proposals. One of the things that we were taught was never, ever deliver a proposal any other way except in person.
Mm.
And never let the customer hold the proposal. Never let them get their hands. Don't give them the proposal. You hold, you come around to their side of the desk, and you hold the proposal and go through the proposal with them. That way, the page doesn't get turned until you want it to be turned.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that is, and I practiced that, Elise, for years and years, for decades.
Mm-hmm.
But when we got into the 90s, an email came along, and I started doing business with people who were in, you know, more and more people who were not anywhere near me. And I had to learn how to deliver proposals without doing it face-to-face.
And how did you do that?
Electronically.
Mm-hmm.
Some of it electronically, but as much as it really depended on the relationship. If I had a limited relationship with them, we hadn't really gotten to know each other very well, I put it together in on paper, and I overnighted it to them.
Mm-hmm.
And I laid it out. But as you say, I made sure that when they received it and opened it up, it was as close to me turning the pages for them as possible.
Well, what about in this virtual world doing, you know, scheduling a phone meeting to go over it?
That's exactly what you do. No, you have to do that. That's exactly right. But of course, when they get it, they're going to go ahead and open it up.
Right.
But I have done proposals electronically, and I've done them successfully electronically, because sometimes you have to be pragmatic about these things. As much as I would prefer to do it face-to-face, you have to be pragmatic about people's time, about what they expect, and sometimes you have to do it electronically. But I will tell you this: there's one customer that I have that I'd done business with for several years, and I wanted to take them to the next level, and I refused to send him an electronic proposal. I asked him for his time, and I literally traveled across the country and met with him face to face and did an old-fashioned hand-delivered proposal.
Mm-hmm.
Even though we'd already been doing business for years, and I probably would have got the business anyway, I wanted to do it face to face.
Yeah, I really think it's important.
It is important.
I even think that it's important to ask, even if the answer is going to be no.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not just assume that they don't have time or want to, or it's not possible, because, I mean, there's so much more you can do in a one-on-one meeting when you're actually talking about the project, as opposed to the, you know, kind of presentation where you show your portfolio or show examples of what you've done.
But many people who are listening to us right now are giving proposals to the people that they can drive to within an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And those definitely, absolutely, definitely should not be sent by mail or by electronics. They should be delivered in person. We're going to be right back and talk more about proposals with our good friend Elise Benin. She's the author of Stop Pushing Me Around. We're back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with our good friend Elise Benin, and she's the author of Stop Pushing Me Around. Elise, give us your website, please.
It's www.marketing-mentor.com.
And by the way, you can find Elise on my websites, our flagship website, smallbusinessadvocate.com. We can find a whole body of work that she's deposited with us over the years in the form of articles, but also dozens of interviews that she and I have done that you can find in her archive, her part of our archives, where you can also not only listen to them, you can stream them by MP3. You can download them if you want and use them to your little heart's content. Don't forget also, Elise is also well represented in our new knowledge base, the knowledge base for small business, AskJim.biz. So she's a great supporter of all the things we do, and for that, Elise, we appreciate you.
Thank you. I appreciate you, Jim.
Let's talk about proposals. And as I said, most small business owners are giving proposals, or I should say, most small business proposals are being given to people that we actually can be in front of. We can go to them. We can drive an hour or or 8 minutes or whatever, or walk around the block. Sometime during the month, we're going to be in face-to-face with those people, or we can be face-to-face with those people. And we need to make sure we deliver those proposals. At least I think one of the things that happens, though, that lulls us into a false sense of the relationship there, is when we have customers that we're doing more and more virtual work with, even though they're only 20 minutes away, we don't see them as much because we're doing more virtual work. We're emailing and that sort of thing. But if you want to take them to the next level, if you want to give them a new proposal, don't assume, if you can get to those people, don't assume that sending it to them is okay. This is a perfect time to get in front of them, isn't it?
It is. And, I mean, I even encourage my clients to use the proposal meeting to start doing the work, even if they haven't awarded it to you yet. In other words, start speaking about the work as if you're going to do it, and brainstorming and giving your ideas and planning the thing out, because I think that that's how and when they get a really good idea of what it would be like to work with you, and you don't get that from a proposal.
Absolutely. And you know, another thing, though, before you do the proposal, you have to have a basis for presuming that you can deliver a proposal, which means that you've already talked to them enough about what they need, what they want, that you can identify a way that you can help them with that.
Well, yeah, and the thing is, I recommend that you ask for an in-person meeting before creating the proposal,
right,
to ask all the important questions, including the last one, which is, when can we schedule a time for me to come back and present this to you?
Exactly. Well said, Elise. That's exactly right. And you know, the reason why you have to do all that, folks, is because, remember, Elise and I were talking about what the first two or three pages should look like. The first two or three pages should be all about them, where you say, okay, you told me that you have this issue, you have that issue, you want to take advantage of this opportunity, you have this problem. You said to me, this is what's on your mind. And I said to you, if I could do this, would that be something of interest to you? And you said yes to me. Now you've established, you've got the history, you got the provenance in there, Elise, so that you can see what has gone before. And you establish that, and you go over that when you deliver the proposal. And then you say, okay, based on our last conversations, here's how we propose to address your issues.
Yeah.
And then you do it.
And the thing is, you can't, even if you write all that in the proposal, you can't count on them to read it.
No, that's right.
And that's why it's important to present it either on the phone or...
And not let them turn, don't let them have the book, don't let them have the proposal, folks, because they'll turn to the last page immediately.
Actually, you know, I have a client who has a very interesting strategy. He submits first a draft proposal that doesn't have any numbers in it. Mm-hmm. And he has the client look it over and say, just make sure that this is what we discussed before I do a final version. And his final version has the numbers.
And you know what I tell them when I've done that too, Elise? It works like a charm.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I tell them? They say, well, how much is all this? I say, well, look, for right now, let's assume price is not an issue.
Mm.
Just do me one favor and help me. And let's assume that cost or price is not an issue, meaning that you'll pay whatever I offer, or I'm willing to sell it to you for whatever you're willing to pay. Let's just take that off the table for now, and let's just talk about what it is that's on our minds.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
It works.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've sent proposals without a price before. Mm-hmm. In fact, that's a good way to do it virtually.
Yeah.
Just don't send the price to them, and then when you get back with them, then you can actually tell them the price.
Right.
Instead of writing it down, I mean, it's just a number. I mean, that's not hard to say.
Mm-hmm. Right, because the proposal, I mean, maybe a proposal is just a glorified way of saying, here's the number.
Right. You know, another thing for proposals, Elise, is to use some of these virtual meeting products, like GoToMeeting or something like that, where you can actually push the pages up on the screen and let them sit through that with you.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
Yeah, it's a good idea. Elise, give us your website again, please.
It's www.marketing-mentor.com, and you can sign up for my quick tips there.
They're good, too, by the way. Folks, Elise, when's the new book coming out?
In the spring of 08. It's called The Designer's Pricing Guide and Marketing.
All right. Can't wait for that. I'm sure we'll be hearing more about that. Thanks, Elise, for being here. Good job today.
Okay.
We'll see you next time. Gotta go for just a few minutes. I'll be back. Don't worry. Right after this break, I'll be back with our good friend Jerry Ripperger. He's with the Principal Financial Group, and we're going to talk about HSAs.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.